Ferme veut. You deserve heaven.
Comment on sait?
You deserve.
Sometimes when we go through situations, we forget to say this. We keep on crying, we keep on looking back at what we have failed us. And we forget that even through the situations, even through the pain, in joy and happiness, we should say something to the Lord that He deserves the glory in whatever situation we are going through. Is there something that you remember that the Lord has done for you? Even when you thought you cannot say a word, but you realized later that it took the hand of God for you to stand again. Take this time to express yourself and say you deserve the honor. No matter the situation, you deserve the glory. Because it takes only His grace, His grace, His grace, His love, that we can stand again. Father, we come to You this morning to worship You. Because You deserve the glory exactly. You deserve the honor exactly. You really deserve it. When we try to count and look back at what You have done, what You are doing now, and what even we are yet to see, we come with a word of worship. Lord, accept us this morning. We know that we can fall short. Father, we come to ask for forgiveness. Help us to work with You, Lord, in everything. Help us to remember the grace and the love You have to us. Help us to believe that You are there with us and that You will work everything out for Your glory. Whatever situation that we are going through, that we cannot even understand, that we are not sure we will handle, let us remember that You are the one who owns the battles and that You will fight for us. You said You will go before us and we will follow. Sometimes we forget this. But help us, Lord, to praise You, to sing Your glory, to raise our voices and always proclaim that You deserve it. And always proclaim that You are the only one to worship. Hallelujah, You deserve it. Yes, no matter the situation, You deserve it. You deserve it, Lord. You deserve it. Thank You for Your love. Hallelujah.
You deserve.
Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your presence here. Thank You that You have heard us, Lord. You deserve all the glory. Hallelujah. Let us clap to the Lord as we sit down. Amen.
And we pray that this moment may be blessed by You. Speak to our hearts
And open our eyes to see the wonderful things that you want to accomplish in and through us. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Good morning. Well, it is such a joy and a privilege for me to again have this opportunity to stand before you this morning in order to share God's word. Amen. And it's truly a grace from God who just keeps us going, empowering, and continuously equipping us for his work. It's truly a grace from the word and from the Lord. And my word of thanks goes as well to the pastor for allowing me to be preaching today. So a couple of years ago, it must have been in 2017, I went to visit a pastor, a friend of mine, and it happened that day he was trying a Japanese dish, and he was and still is a great amateur of Asian foods because he actually took me more than once to Chinese restaurants in Nairobi. So that day, he presented before me a plate of some Japanese noodles. They are called yakisoba. Japanese noodles are called yakisoba. I don't know if the media could project that before us, to us. And the agreement between the pastor and me was that we would eat them with chopsticks, just like the Japanese do. Do you know the chopsticks, those sticks that they used to eat? Yes. So we were supposed to eat them with chopsticks. So while the pastor was busy in the kitchen getting additional element for the table, he left his daughter under my care, as well as my plate of yakisoba, of course. And you know, in this digital age, you want to capture every first-time experience. And so I wanted to keep memories of this wonderful plate of yakisoba. I pulled out my cell phone and tried to get the best picture as possible of the noodles and the chopsticks in my hand. But while I was doing that, little did I know that when I was busy trying to get the best picture, Makena, the pastor's little girl, had climbed on the table. And a huge noise, boom, took me back to reality because the girl had just fallen from the table. She cried and I was really embarrassed. And this is just one of many stories of how technology or technological devices disconnect us from reality while they hold the promise of making us more connected. A couple of years ago again, I remember one day I was watching an episode of a series called Blackish. It's about an African-American family that settled in, that's the plate of yakisoba, and that's the girl I'm talking about. So while I was trying to get that picture, I didn't pay attention to what the girl was doing. And so the only noise that brought me back to reality was the noise of her falling down. That's technology for you. Let's keep going. So I remember watching this series called Blackish. It's about an African-American family settling in a white suburb. And in that particular episode, the mom of the family, she was called Bo, had just finished cooking dinner. And while she was cooking, the whole family was in the living room. Everyone was glued to their phones, to their laptops, to the TV, to their iPads. And when she was done with cooking, she came out and shouted, "Dinner is ready." But nobody paid attention to what she said. And then she said it one more time, two more times, three times. No one paid attention to what she said. And then suddenly she had this brilliant idea to send the message in the family's WhatsApp group, "Dinner is ready." And then when everyone got the notification, they were like, "Oh, finally." That's technology for you. That message landed, and everyone in the living room finally stood up and went to the dining room. Technology has invaded our lives in tremendous ways in the last 3 decades, and this trend is not going to stop anytime soon. The question is no longer what should we do about it, but how to wisely engage in the digital world. So would you please open your Bibles with me in the book of Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. The Bible says, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is the word of God. And so we are beginning a new series of teaching, and the main title of this series of teaching is Gospel Sharing and New Technologies. And this morning in particular, we'd like to answer the question, can new technology be a tool for sharing the salvation message to the world or in the world? A simple answer to that question will be, yes. Just look at the mic I'm using. Just look at all these screens. Just look at the sound system that we have. Just look at the lights. Everything that we have in this church is technological, and it allows us to be efficient in sharing the gospel. But we all know that the answer is not that simple. The answer is not that simple. Because when it comes to technology, technology can be classified among the best things that have ever happened to us, and at the same time, the worst things that have ever happened to us. The two examples I gave previously can give you an idea. Only a couple of years ago, we shifted from technology being mostly made up of tools to it being made up of devices that we now carry everywhere. Phones, laptop, tablets, and etc. One author even said that because technology can be accessed anywhere, it has invaded our lives everywhere. Because technology can be accessed anywhere, it has invaded our lives everywhere. A few interesting facts. Did you know that the internet was not of public use until the mid-90s? Actually, somewhere in 1992, 1993, there was only about 600 websites on the internet. But today, you actually visit 600 websites in a day, because now we have a billion websites. 28 years ago, laptop became a thing, and that year was 1995. So if you are 28 years today, you are the same age as laptops. If you are 27 years today, you have the same years as emails, because emails were showed up in 1996. If you are 26 years today, you have the same age as the Nintendo game. Anybody played the Nintendo game? Yes, another geek. And if you are 25 years today, you have the same age as Google. 1998, Will Smith was getting jiggy with it in that time. I'm just giving you some context. 25 years ago, Google was created. So before 1998, nobody ever Googled anything. So you must wonder, these guys were cavemen. 24 years ago, texting came up, 1999. 21 years ago, phones with camera, that was 2002. 2004, we had Facebook. 2005, YouTube. 2006, Twitter. 2010, Instagram. 2011, Snapchat. And 2016, one of the most popular today, TikTok. And the word selfie was invented in 2013. So 2013 is when we first heard the word selfie. And so the average, because of that access to technology, the average human attention span actually dropped from 12 seconds in 2000 to 8 seconds in 2013. Average human attention span. Today, most people spend around 7.5 hours a day looking at the screen today. In 2004, studies have shown that 44% of teenagers owned a phone. But today, more than 90% of teenagers, even people, you know, older people, own a phone. In some urban African areas, of course, and in Western countries. Today, 70% and even more, 70% of people panic if they don't have their phones with them. Do you feel that? When they don't have their phones with them, they panic completely. And we now have two main categories of people. Digital natives, those who were born in the era of technology, and digital immigrants, those who are still trying to get used to it. So which one are you? A digital native or a digital immigrant? The truth is, technology is unavoidable today. It has extended access to information, increased efficiency in so many areas. It has boosted economies on a global scale and helped solve some previously extremely difficult problems. Just a simple example. Do you know that because the road is blocked between here and Kiwanja, which is a city far north from Goma, most teachers there don't get their salaries, but because of mobile money and digital banking, it's easier for them to access to their salaries. We get them through technological means because technology has helped us solve so many problems. This digital revolution, of course, has come with so many side effects and pitfalls, but the good news is the gospel is all about how God redeems everything. Everything, including technology, for his glory and for our good. And thus, our first point this morning. The first point is that the gospel gives greater purpose to our use of technology. Because purpose is very important when we are using technology. The reason why we sometimes get so distracted by technology or find ourselves doom scrolling, you know, the way you just wake up in the morning and you're like, let me just check my feeds, my Facebook feed or my Twitter feed. And then 2 hours later, you find yourself laughing at monkeys slapping each other. The reason why we find ourselves doom scrolling and distracted by technology, it's because most people have a purposeless use of technology. And the gospel gives a greater purpose to our use of technology. The gospel is good news, even in our digital era, because it gives godly purpose to everything we do online. Some turn to social media to seek affirmation, to feed their ego, others to run away from the sad realities of their lives. But when we use these means of communication to share a message of hope, we point all these people to the one who can ultimately give life to their weary souls. Amen. So the second thing is, the mission Jesus gave us involves meeting people where they are. It's a matter of proximity. So the first word, the first keyword we must keep is purpose. Our use of technology must be purposeful. Purpose. The second thing is about proximity. Because Jesus said, go and make disciples of all people, okay? It means be closer to them. Be approximate, because technology has come with the promise of connecting us more than ever before. Reality is it over-delivers on its promise, because now we are hyper-connected. We are the most connected generation in the history of the world, but we are also the most isolated. It's such a huge paradox. Our digital devices have become our entire world to the point that they have made human in-person interaction rare for so many. So the stories I told at the beginning are powerful illustration of this. Just how, because I was so focused on getting a picture, I got disconnected from the reality around me. While technology is actually supposed to help us be connected, to be present, to care. So there is even now what is called a social media divide because of technology. And this one, I see it every time people discuss politics on WhatsApp group. And sometimes I wonder if these guys were in the same room. It will be kicking and boxing and everything. Because you see the language and feel like the Holy Spirit has left this group. Even church WhatsApp groups. Because technology has also come with that social media divide. And yet, we see throughout history how technology was of great use for the advance of the gospel and the building of church communities. 2 examples from history are the Roman roads. You see, these are the Roman roads from the antiquity. They still exist today. The empire built this road during its expansion in the known world. And did you know that Paul, the great missionary, the apostle, used this same road to spread the gospel to the Gentiles, because technology also allowed that proximity even throughout history. Another example, actually this road Let me just read a quote I picked from somewhere. It says, at the peak of Rome's development, no fewer than 29 great military highways radiated from the capital, and the late empire, 113 provinces were interconnected by 372 great roads. The whole comprised more than 400,000 kilometers. These Romans built roads that connected Africa, Asia, and Europe. And this is where we got the expression, all roads lead to Rome. In the Roman Empire, that was literally true. And guess what? These are the same roads that Paul used during his time to share the gospel from city to city with the Gentiles, meeting them everywhere they are, proximity. So another example is the invention of the printing press in the 15th century. You heard about Gutenberg, I hope. Gutenberg invented the printing press, and a few years later, Martin Luther, the great reformer, saw an opportunity in it and used this technology to make Christian literature available to many. And today we talk about streaming, we talk about Zoom prayer meeting, we talk about shared Bible studies on the Bible app, the most popular Christian app invented by a church in the US. Most people now spend 7.5 hours per day looking at their screen. And for us tech people, it's even more than that. So if you want to meet people where they are, then we must invade the technological space as well. So how many of us wake up and go straight to their Bible app on their phones? Our phones are the first things we check when we wake up and the last thing that we look at when we go to bed. And today, because of the possibility of streaming Zoom prayer meeting, people who have disabilities can follow the service even right now. Elderly people are also reached by the message that we share every Sunday. And some people who can make it to church can actually watch it online. And this has helped to allow that proximity. And this should be our mindset every time we are online. Is this making me more present to my neighbor? Am I more proximate, if I would say? Am I more present, more attentive to the needs around me, to the needs of my neighbors? Am I more attentive to the needs around me as I'm scrolling through my feed? So proximity should be one of our key pursuits as we navigate this digital era. The third and last thing is that the use of new technology allows us to speak the language of the people of our time. And that's the third P, people. I said the first thing is purpose, the second is proximity, and the third one is people. Purpose, proximity, and people. As a medium, technology has made it easy to share creative content in less time and with a farther reach than ever before. There is now a wide variety of content that is accessible online. And behind every content, there is an agenda. We are now exposed to all sorts of entertainment and leisure that have turned most people into addict consumers. It said, studies have shown that 80% of teenagers check their social media constantly. 68% don't go 1 hour without checking their phones. We actually check our phones every 5 to 7 minutes. But we all know that whatever our eyes see, our ears hear constantly affect our mind and consequently our behavior. So more than ever, sounds and images have become a more effective way to speak to this generation. Sounds and images. And technology has made the spread of these sound and images more easier. And so it's a call to us as Christian, as creative, to also invade that space with sounds and images that lead to the person of Christ. Because I've also benefited from so many Christian creatives, YouTubers, podcasters, writers, bloggers who have done it so well. And my call for all of us today, if you are a creative, is go and TikTok for Jesus. Amen? Go and TikTok for Jesus. Your knowledge of and understanding of God are the only limit, but the tools are available. The tools are available. So in conclusion, The question is not whether or not technology can help us share the gospel in the world, but whether we believe this message enough, are consumed enough by this message, and treasure it enough that we can breathe this life wherever we find ourselves, even in our digital spaces. May God help us to offer our bodies, our digital life, as living, sacrificed, holy, and acceptable to Him. And this with purpose, for proximity, and the good of people in our minds. May God bless His word.